Chapter 19. Lundquist walked into Jesse's office half an hour after the torrent of phone calls had begun. Things had slowed some by then, though calls were still coming in. Jesse had already spoken to the mayor about it and had called Suit in from patrol. After making a copy of the flyer for Suit, Jesse sent him over to Molly's Street to get a sense of just how many of the flyers had been distributed, and to see if he could determine how big an area of the town had been covered.
"Jesse, these things could be all over the place," Suit had said.
"I don't think so. These types operate under cover of darkness. They're not ready to be seen, not yet anyway."
"Not yet? What are they waiting for?"
"That's the million-dollar question." Jesse hadn't wanted to get into it with Suit about what he thought might make the saviors of society step out into the light of day. He didn't think he'd have that luxury with Lundquist.
"Have a seat, Brian."
Before sitting, Lundquist placed a file on Jesse's desk.
"That's the initial forensics and medical report on Felicity Wildford," Jesse asked. "Anything unexpected?"
Lundquist didn't answer directly.
"She's in bad shape. Broken jaw, broken ribs, punctured lung, and they brutalized her."
"What do you mean, brutalized? Was she raped?"
Lundquist made a sick face. "In a way. It's all there in the file. That's not even the worst of it. The doctors have put her in a medically induced coma, but they're not hopeful."
"Any brain function?"
"Some." "I don't get why whoever did this tried to make it look like the Tammy Portugal crime scene."
"Me either, though I've got to admit they did go out of their way to make it look that way."
"They?"
"It's all there," Lundquist pointed at the file. "From the injuries, it looks like there was at least two, maybe three different attackers. Animals."
"Any hits?"
"Not so far. The lipstick they used to write on the body was a cheap brand you could pick up anywhere."
"You eliminate the boyfriend, Randisi?"
"Can't yet."
Jesse nodded.
"Because of there being more than one assailant?"
"Exactly. I don't think he's involved, but I can't be sure.
Anyway, he says he's going to stick around until Wildford comes out of her coma."
"Anything else?"
"We found some strands of a black polyester and spandex blend."
"That lead anywhere?"
"Pretty common stuff. The lab thinks it might come from athletic wear. You know, the kind of material football players wear under their equipment, or runners wear in cold weather. Like I said, it's all there."
Lundquist turned in his chair, faced the office door.
"What's going on out there? I've never seen two of your people handling calls before. You guys have a blackout in town or a flood or something?"
"Or something," Jesse said. "Here."
Lundquist barely reacted as he read the flyer. Jesse said, "You've seen it before?"
"The SS," he said, nodding.
"I have, but not this far south, mostly up along the border with New Hampshire, or out west along the New York border. What can you tell me about them?"
Lundquist held up the flyer and turned it to face Jesse. "What could I tell you about them that this doesn't tell you? I mean, they're called the SS for short.
You know anything about their leadership or how they operate?"
"Sorry, Jesse, I've just run across these flyers before. I've got no idea who they really are or how they operate."
"Why, you think there's a connection between Felicity Wildford's assault and this?"
"We had a cross-burning last night while these flyers were being stuck on car windshields across town. Happened to be the people who bought my old house. The husband's a doctor of Indian descent. The wife is blonde and blue-eyed, and they've got two little kids."
"Shit, interracial couples."
"Uh-huh."
"Okay, I know some people who work with Homeland Security, who monitor potential homegrown terrorist groups and people at the Boston PD in intelligence. I'll see if I can't get them to get in touch with you about this."
"I'd appreciate it, Brian."
Lundquist stood up and shook Jesse's hand.
"Then let me get to it."
Before he left, Jesse asked, "Hear anything about the Swan Harbor cop, Daniels?"
Lundquist shrugged.
"Service record is pretty clean."
"Let's face it, Jesse, Swan Harbor's even smaller than Paradise. There's not much trouble for a cop to get into there." When he was sure he was alone, Jesse reached over to his right and opened the drawer in which he used to keep his office bottle. He didn't even realize what he was doing until he stopped himself from reaching for the bottle that was no longer there. Strange how intensely he wanted a drink, and how the meeting he'd been to only last night already felt like a distant memory. He slammed the drawer shut, and instead of grabbing his old baseball glove, he pulled a business card out of his wallet.